right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday. It's chilly and gray here today, as usual, but not as cold. I think it's probably in the 20s. So that's a bonus. Almost like spring here. Today we're going to continue on our conversation we were having. Oh, well, it's probably been like week number three now, but we're going to continue on the conversation we were having yesterday discussing specifically nanotechnology. And just like almost every single day we do the show, once we get off the air, there's brand new news about the exact same things we were just talking about, yet it came out after we did the show. RT came out with a video yesterday. Pigmind posted it. That was titled DNA Nanobots to Target Cancer Cells in Test Patients. Now, I don't know how this happened. I mean, it's not like this hasn't been talked about. It's just pretty bizarre to me that some news network out of the blue. I mean, we're talking about this because this is something that's my red button issue, and you guys know that very well because I talk about this stuff frequently. But the fact that the exact thing that we're talking about now comes out as a news story, and not only that, but it also came out in Reuters. And this is talking about the stuff that we heard Drexler talk about yesterday, injectable 3D cell factories to fight cancer in the body. Guys, I don't know, man. So I guess you gotta, here, hold on. My brain's not working and I'm trying to remember how to bring in my other computer. You guys got a preview apparently to the day's news. That's fun. All right, here. Just freaks me out when it happens like multiple times in a week. The mosquito things, but that was last week. Precog. All right, there we go. So, headline news yesterday. RT, DNA nanobots to target cancer cells in test patients. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I've been talking about this stuff for a long time, and I told you what they're going to do is tell you it's going to cure cancer, and idiots are going to line right up. Well, here we go. It's the pitch now to America.
After decades of research and development, medical scientists have announced that nanorobots capable of isolating and eliminating cancer cells could soon be ready for human testing. But it's the way it works that's truly mind-blowing. Now, check this out. Researchers at the Weiss Institute at Harvard University use a technique called...
By the way, the Weiss Institute is the place that makes the unmanned aerial microvehicles, a.k.a. RoboBees.
DNA origami, and that's represented here by these ribbons. The robot is essentially made up entirely of these synthetic DNA strands, and when left alone, the strands then self-assemble. After all, they've been pre-programmed by engineers to assume a specific shape for a specific mission. And
he just said self-assemble. These are self-assembling freaking nanobots that are developed at the Weiss Institute, where they develop the RoboBees, which, oh, what? They're going to be used to pollinate your crops, or what? They could be used for surveillance and killing you. Yes, that's exactly what these are for as well.
In this case, that shape is a simple cylinder with two open ends on each end held together by a DNA lock. Now, the lock can only be opened through a corresponding molecule or protein, much like a standard lock and key. And as you can see here, once this happens, the robot flings open to reveal its payload. And in this case, again, it might be a cancer drug that's then administered to the patient. Dr. Ido Bachelet, a leading researcher in the field of nanorobotics, explains how this works.
Nanorobot is capable of recognizing a small population of target cells within a large population of bystander cells, which should be left alone. And the way it does that is that while all cells share the same drug target that we want to attack, Only those target cells express the proper set of keys that open the nanorobot, and therefore only they will be attacked by the nanorobot and by the drug.
So the
nanorobot can be very specific about what it attacks in your body as well.
Recap a little bit and take a closer look at this nanorobot. Now, remember that this structure is made entirely of synthetic DNA, but it's fully biocompatible with the way the human body works, meaning...
I can't even... It's like RT's been listening to this show and took all of our buzzwords and then just put them into one 2 minute and 11 second video. It's made entirely of synthetic DNA. Guys, we got us a big fat education long before this came out. I just can't even believe. How is this possible? This is two for two, 2 weeks in a row. Stuff we've been amping on about forever, talking about in detail, and now it's headline news? I mean, I don't like this. This is not cool. That means that we were right on. That means that we actually saw the plan. And I don't like this plan. And again, and absolutely, they're telling you it's going to cure cancer. I'm telling you, that is the biggest lie in the book. Sure, it might cure cancer. And it's also going to make you grow wings out your forehead. And, you know, the second you open your mouth and say something that you're not supposed to say, now that it has this nanorobot full of technology sensors. Remember, we found out yesterday from Eric Drexler, father of nanotech, that they can put an entire PC in the space of one cubic micron. So don't think that they don't have some sort of wireless connectivity or GPS connectivity or, like I said, microphone or any other type of connectivity where they could be surveilling you. But one wrong word and boop. Oh, that poor girl. Look at how young she was, and she had an aneurysm. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. And these are self-assembling, and there's intelligence involved.
That not only can the robot be programmed to do a job, it can break down and be expelled naturally when that job is over. But what this monumental step in medical science represents goes much farther than treatment and rehabilitation, to include diagnostics as well. According to Dr. Bachelet, nanorobots can already identify at least 12 different types of tumors. And in the near future, these bots might be more like microsurgeons, injected into our arms as part of routine checkups, scanning our bodies and attacking disease cells before disease is even discovered. Needless to say, the future applications of this technology are endless. Manuel Rapallo, RT Studios, Washington.
I mean, what's happened here is exactly what we've been tracing. Obama jumped on the precision healthcare wagon as the butt slap to the rest of the medical industrial biotech complex, which has merged now with the military, with the vaccines. Once we had that quote-unquote Ebola outbreak, and I'm telling you, and I did lots of research into RNAi and nanotech, and guys, they're all part of exactly what we just heard. Everything we've been talking about, from the outbreak to making everyone feel like the government's going to save you then with their miracle vaccines, to this measles thing, I'm telling you, this measles thing is absolutely involved. Now there's a new whole anti-vaxxer. I'm trying to do multiple things. I'm kind of tired this morning. There's this whole new anti-vaxxer sentiment going on that's going to get us all fighting against each other. And parents who are concerned for their children going after other parents who are concerned for their children. And I'm going to tell you what's so evil about all this is that we found out that the mortality rate for measles is 0.02%. Notice in all the bullshit, and I haven't been playing any of those videos because I feel like running after someone and poking them in the eyes when I see that. People are so stupid. Anyone who's lining up for vaccination right now blindly thinking it's old school vaccines from the days of the 50s or the 60s has got to have a screw loose. Anyone who stands there and believes any word their doctor tells them, after we read that Obamacare is not considered a health care plan, so kickbacks are now freaking legal, has got to have a screw loose. You know, we've been pulling on a thread that's been unraveling this big, ugly Christmas sweater. I don't know. It could be any type of sweater. Big sweater from Aunt Janet. And it is revealing some super ugliness underneath. And all the pieces. I mean, I honestly, the anti-vaxxer thing, I was very questioning in regards to whether or not vaccines were good or bad. But we always had vaccines growing up, right? And that's what most people base their opinion on. I had vaccines. I'm okay. But what you don't get, did you hear what he said? Yeah, I want to play the very beginning of that video again. Did you hear what he said? And this is all the same new technology now. This stuff's going to be in our food. The stuff's in our air. They let the genie out of the bottle. It's all being injected into the Africans right now. I just saw, too, there were four stories yesterday that we've been talking about and brand new news about all of them. But, yes, new human trials have kicked off in, I think it was Liberia and Moldova. Here. Wait, let's just hear the beginning. Just don't forget what he says.
After decades of research and development, medical scientists have announced that nanorobots capable of isolating and eliminating cancer cells could soon be ready for human testing. But it's the way it works that's truly mind-blowing. Now,
could soon be ready for human testing. Is that not what I've been telling you all this time? Before the Ebola outbreak, this technology, the RNAi technology, and we're going to take a look. The RNAi is tied right into the nanotech, and the nanotech has been putting all of our shit. Before the Ebola, quote-unquote, outbreak, all this stuff had been sitting in the pipeline from all these drug manufacturers. Remember, many of them are DARPA-financed. We looked at all that. Yeah, it just sucks. You know, I always feel like I have to go back and back up all the stuff I said. But if you've been listening to this show for the last, even the last year, you'd have all this information in your head because we dug up all the research and the proof for this, all the stories out of medical journals. But before this Ebola outbreak, all the stuff was lined up in the queue. And it was not, quote unquote, ethical to be testing any of this on humans unless there was an emergency. And then the emergency happened. And now we have human trials. And that was, and I at the time we called it, that was the genie being let out of the bottle, because now it is wanton mad science gone, man. We're injecting you with whatever. It's the promise of the future. This whole initiative, we just put all this federal money now behind precision medicine. Guys, it's, I don't even know what to say. This is it. This is the end game. All this other stuff that we've been squawking about, all the wars and the pollution and the radiation and even the chemtrails. Actually, the chemtrails, I think they've been spraying us with this crap. All this stuff. And maybe the chemtrails was just to check out a delivery system. Put on a seatbelt, because now the nanobots are coming. This has been my nightmare. This, if you've ever watched science fiction, you were ever a fan of science fiction movies or series, the replicators, guys. The replicators from Stargate SG-1. Actually, I think there was something very similar to that in Babylon 5, though they didn't replicate, but they were very much creatures like I imagine nanobots. Guys, this is not good. How do you kill these things? That's what we should always know, right? When you bring out a poison, you always want the antidote. We need to find out how to kill nanobots. We probably need an electron microscope to see them. Or something. All right, here. Before we get... I'm going to sit here and ramble for an hour. All right, let's listen to this next story. This is the one that came out of Reuters that piggybacked on. And this was a brand new one as well that came out after the show. This one talks about the 3D cell factories. And this is the same type of stuff that Drexler was talking about in that interview we heard yesterday. Injectable 3D cell factories to fight cancer in the body.
Eileen Lee fills a syringe with a saline solution that contains tiny rods made of silica. Those rods form the basis of a new method to fight everything from cancer to Ebola in the human body. David Mooney, a professor of bioengineering at Harvard, says the human immune system is the most efficient weapon on the planet to fight disease, but that sometimes it needs to be activated to respond to threats. That's where the rods come in.
One could inject these through a needle because they're so small, and then after they're in the body, they would be present in a fluid, a saline solution or salt solution, and then as that salt solution dissipated into the surrounding tissue, these particles would then collapse on each other and form this three-dimensional structure.
That three-dimensional structure is basically a makeshift laboratory which takes shape inside the body. First, the tiny lab plays the role of a trap, releasing drug molecules that were implanted into nanopores fitted in the rods to attract immune cells to the structure. Eileen Lee says it's like attracting a mouse with cheese.
We utilize these nanopores to release a factor that brings about millions and millions of immune cells to this local 3D structure. And there, the cells reside in the pores that are formed between the microparticles, and they're able to be then, you know, subsequently programmed to do their job.
I just can't even believe. There were two videos yesterday, brand spanking new, that came out on this very, I mean, we spent days building up and explaining how this all works and all the history behind it, and two videos that came out. I mean, this is really happening, guys. I mean, literally, I was almost at a loss. I was very upset when I saw this yesterday.
At this point, the tiny lab turns into a factory where these cells are reprogrammed and fitted with proteins designed to trigger an immune response in the body.
They will then migrate away from the scaffold, go to the nearest lymph node, and there they instruct the T cells and B cells to proliferate and to activate.
And then your immune system will increase or multiply this effect at several different steps as you move down the immune response.
And that's when the body kicks into action to start combating disease and infection. In animal studies, the research has proven highly effective. David Mooney says it will take years of research to translate their early successes in animal models into therapies for humans. But he's hopeful that his tiny cell factories will become a powerful weapon in the fight against cancer and infectious diseases.
There you go. You know, I love the way they come out and they're like, well, it's going to take many years for us to get this approved and tested in humans, but, you know, it's promising in animal models. You know what, guys? That's such a crock, because all it's going to take is the next emergency, and then it will be appropriate to test in humans. It's exactly what happened with Ebola. Here, I dropped to that one, too. Now check this out. Speaking about Ebola, that was something else we've been talking about. And I had told you about how the quote-unquote outbreak just sort of fizzled after they managed to get some of these new RNAi vaccinations approved to start injecting into people because, whoops, we had an emergency. We sent troops to Africa. And we've postulated, and there have been so many former military that have told us then after the fact that, yes, they did have to get the vaccines. How many of my friends who had to go to the first Gulf War in Iraq had to get that anthrax vaccine with squalene? Our postulation was 3,000 troops to Africa in the middle of the Ebola outbreak. Wasn't just to go build treatment centers, which, whoops, by the way, are all sitting empty, some of which never even were used. But they have now multiple clinical trials going on with the poor people in Africa for this new Ebola vaccination. There's other ones. There was one in England for Oxford University, and there were a couple here up in New England. I don't remember which university was doing it, but the majority of them, there were like two or three, I thought, going on in Africa right now. Well, again, I don't know. Here we go. This came out of the news yesterday. Liberia kicks off clinical trial for Ebola vaccine. As what? Oh, yeah, the outbreak ebbs. Remember, they must have found the tree. Actually, they did literally come out and say they found the tree that the infected fruit bats were in. They must have called the exterminators because Ebola just evaporated like that. Poof. But what do we get out of it? Oh, nano fucking bot vaccines.
A new laboratory and new hope in Monrovia, where a trial of experimental Ebola vaccines is getting started. The Ebola epidemic has killed thousands of people in West Africa since it began more than a year ago. But here, there are two vaccines being tested, one developed in the U.S. and the other in Canada. And Liberia's Deputy Health Minister, Tolbert Nyenzwa, is hopeful.
I'm of the conviction that the scientists both sides, the Liberian side and the American side, are about to find a solution that will save lives in the future.
But it won't be a quick fix. The spread of Ebola appears to be slowing in Liberia, but some researchers say it could make it harder to tell if the vaccines work. Zilu McGill is one of the first volunteers to get vaccinated.
A trial is not 100% guaranteed that all you get is vaccinated for Ebola or you will not catch Ebola. You need to stay to practices to prevent Ebola and follow the rules.
Scientists say the study could prove to be a turning point in the fight against the deadly virus, which currently has no known cure.
While that video is playing, I popped into chat for a second, and you know what, guys? You are absolutely 100% right on. This measles thing now. You know, here's something I was thinking about yesterday. My one friend that disagrees with me on everything was disagreeing with me again. But you know what? I'm pretty confident in my ability to decode the news and connect the dots that, you know, here, hold on. That most of the time, I think I'm pretty right on the money once I start pulling on a thread and digging into it. You don't want me to do that. But here, we're going to go back to the story because this is the one from sciencemag.org from a few days ago. We read this. So it was on the first. This is what tipped me off. This is about the measles virus. You know, right now, there was like, oh, no, measles in Disneyland. Oh, no, measles near the Super Bowl. Now, it'll be interesting to see if now they start squawking that people got it at the Super Bowl. Incubation period is 10 to 14 days. I was reading that yesterday, that you can have it before you get the sniffles and the cough. Did anyone also realize that probably more so than the spots and the blotches, which is just inflammation, and you get it internally and externally, you'll get it on your skin, and you'll get it in your throat and your tongue. When I caught it in college, I never had it on my body. It actually was just in, like, the, the sides of my mouth, all the way back in my tongue were all spotted red. And I had that horrible upper respiratory. But what really gets me is that there was that illness, right? We were talking about that before Christmas, that everyone was dubbing the chemtrail flu, if you remember. And even before that was the whooping cough. Remember in the Pacific Northwest, all those kids who ended up being vaccinated ended up with whooping cough. And that was like kind of when the anti-vacker pushback was growing at that point. Well, it's those anti-vaxxers. And then it came out, whoops, no, all the kids that got infected with whooping cough actually got the vaccine. Well, this illness then that came out over Christmas, I had it, you had it, most of us had it. It lasted for weeks. Literally, it felt like you were ripping a lung out. Your glands all swelled up. I was dying. A lot of those, as I'm reading this article the other day, happened to be very similar symptoms to measles. I just didn't have any dots. So let's read this. Measles virus is spread from person to person through the air in coughed out aerosolized droplets that are inhaled. I also read another article yesterday. It can last for 2 hours outside of the body, by the way. So like on surfaces or in water, aerosolized particulate. The virus typically comes in contact with the host lung tissue where it infects immune cells called macrophages and dendritic cells, which serve as an early defense and warning system. From there, the infected cells migrate to the lymph nodes where they transfer the virus to B and T cells. Infection of lung cells causes a hacking cough that keeps the virus circulating in the population. Who is to say that this measles outbreak, and this is kind of what I was thinking about the other day, wasn't again something engineered? Maybe it's some sort of little mutant measles virus that not all of us showed up with spots. Now, I wouldn't have believed that had that not happened to me 25 years ago, where I got measles and had no spots. But I was, there was a doctor diagnosis too. That wasn't just me going, oh, it looks like I have measles. But we all had that cough. So now, and nobody died. The mortality rate, this article even talks about Ebola. It mentions it. It's like, oh, well, when the Ebola emergency happened, you know, there was a high death rate. And it was. At the time, they've been saying about 80%. I think it ended up around 50 when it all averaged out. And I'm not saying Ebola never happened. In this country, we really didn't have it except for the imported Ebola. But in Africa, I think it really did happen. The question is where it came from. And I don't think it came from that one tree that they happened to identify and the mysterious infected fruit bats. I mean, day one, we call bullshit flag on that. I mean, remember I told you, when you're decoding mainstream, there, at least to me, when I'm reading or I'm listening to something, I have like this uncanny ability for picking out liars. And it's because, and I told you guys, when I was a kid, when I was young, oh, I was an incessant liar. And my mother always caught me. And it eventually came to the point where, like Pavlovian dog, you kind of give up on it. Because you know what? It's way too much trouble to lie. It's just much easier to tell the truth. But I'll tell you what I never lost is like that... Oh, my brain's not working. What's it called? I got the red button. Boop, 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 boop. Like the second I hear the tall tail starting to spin, I don't know what it is, but it goes off. Boop, 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 boop. I'm not easy to bullshit. I'm gullible. You can, if you can get in and convince me you're my friend and drink some beers with me and get me to trust you, then I drop that shield. But if I don't know you, everything is suspect. You're under my scanner eyes. I'm listening very carefully. So when we first heard about the fruit bat, I mean, maybe, I mean, we even did a little infographic video that we found about how bats actually are the carriers of lots of diseases. They just don't get sick themselves. So it's very possible, but it was just such a convenient excuse that like an infected tree of fruit bats managed to infect the entire continent. I mean, I don't know. There were probably 5 or 6 countries, but it was spreading all over. That came from just one gaggle of fruit bats. So my personal opinion is, especially after we found out that there's all kinds of secret bioterror labs down there in Africa that the U.S. and the U.K. and all those other countries have been using for years. Yeah, it seems more plausible that we had something to do with that. We were doing a little testing, and ooh, it was great. I didn't see a lot of blood and guts, though. Thought it was a hemorrhagic fever, but we also got the chikungunya virus. I don't know, Dale, you brought that up the other day, and I just saw recently now there's a new DARPA challenge, just like the robotic challenge that DARPA has for the chikungunya challenge to come up with ways to cure chikungunya. But getting back to this measles, so in this article, they even mention Ebola. Ebola is way more virulent. It kills more people, but it's not easily transmissible. Measles, on the other hand, is really super easily transmitted, yet it doesn't kill very many people. Now, they got us to do this knee-jerk reaction. They conditioned us with Ebola. It's exactly what that was. It was conditioning. Give it up. The government will protect you. Whether or not you should be into forced quarantine. That was the chick out of that came into New Jersey from Doctors Without Borders. Executive orders were passed about what is a quarantinable offense. About whether or not your privacy under HIPAA laws should be kept. Like we looked at yesterday, precision healthcare is going to require us to give it all up. And now vaccines and whether or not you should vaccinate your children is rolling into the diatribe for the 2016 election. How is that possible? And they're actually discussing whether or not vaccines should be voluntary for your children? Did we ever think we would see this world? Because I know I didn't. I was worried about New York State because they'd put it on the docket. I was worried about New York State making that Gardasil vaccine mandatory. And in a lot of the states, we did a show about that couple weeks ago, in a lot of the states they had made it, and a lot of states they made it voluntary. But remember when we dug into the Gardasil vaccine, what did I find? That it was a VLP, virus-like particle loaded with what? Nanotechnology. Guys, our children, our babies are being put up just like little puppies to be tested. Oh, there's a big spider running down the wall right now, and I don't have anything to kill it with. Hold on. Hold on. Ah! Sorry about that. I usually don't kill spiders except when they're inside my abode. If he were just 20 feet that way out the door, he would have been fine. All right. They are testing this stuff on our children. Like those poor little, oh, I don't even remember what kind of dogs they are. They're the little brown and white ones that go, arr, 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 arr. The little hunting dogs. Did you ever see that over near Los Alamos? Where they've been doing all the radiation testing on these poor little dogs. I mean, this was years ago, but there's this whole area that still isn't cleaned up. Libby actually talked about that in one of her shows, but I'd read about it before. Brandon Turville actually just did a new story, too. Left-right paradigm warps vaccine debate. Yes, Brandon, you know what? I'll drop this for you because we're probably not going to get a chance to read this today, but maybe we can look at this tomorrow. I know Brandon has a very strong opinion, and that would be a good one to check out. But wait, I want to find... Oh, and get this shit. So New York is like at the leading edge, right, of banning all this crap. They are like the lapdogs to test it out and see how it works here first. Don't I see this headline? New York Attorney General targets supplements at major retailers. We knew that. Agenda 21, right? They're going to go after all the natural supplements. Now, I was reading in this story that these four retailers, it was like GNC, Target, Walmart, and somebody else, Walgreens, had these supplements that were like supposed to be ginkgo biloba or St. John's wort. And they said that they did testing on them and they ended up only being fillers like powdered rice and asparagus, and that there were no herbs at all in there. I mean, if that's the case, fine. If they were absolutely fraudulent products, fine. But being able to ban natural supplements, and I'm telling you again, this I think is a ploy because you know this is what they want to do, to be able to ban these supplements across the board. Says the New York State Attorney General's office accused four major retailers on Monday of selling fraudulent and potentially dangerous herbal supplements and demanded that they remove the products from their shelves. Well, good. Maybe those products. But if they start banning stuff just like they did with the BB guns in New York, you saw that, right? Now Walmart and Kmart can't sell BB guns anymore unless they have the little orange tip on the ends. Which, again, I don't disagree with that. You know, those you really can't tell the BB guns from real guns, especially at a distance, if they don't have the orange tip. And kids got killed because of it. I mean, trigger-happy cops had something to do with it, but kids still got killed. But it sets a dangerous precedent. Remember, all these little things are dip your toe in and see what the reaction is going to be. And if the dumb American public still sits there and drools on the couch and there is no debate, well, bam, it's time to bring in phase two of whatever multi-pronged evil plan you're working on. So in the case of the nanotech and the RNAi vaccinations, Ebola was number one. And now we got measles. And what's going to be next? Actually, maybe even Gardasil was number one. And then Ebola. And now the measles. And what's going to be next? Whoa, mandatory vaccines. Because like I told you, as a parent, for anyone who hasn't been a parent, I wasn't a parent for many, many years. I did not have my daughter until I was almost 39. Actually, I think I had already turned 39. So I spent many years as a bachelorette doing my own thing before that. And I'm going to tell you that your whole worldview changes. Absolutely. All my friends have told me that. I didn't believe a word they said. Well, I was wrong. Your whole worldview changes. And what changes most is that you will do anything. It's like this innate code in you, as a mother especially, you will do anything to make sure that that child stays safe, whether you want to or not. It's something that's built in. If you've medicated yourself to the point where you don't care about your child, well, then you got some serious ass problems, because you will be half dead and you will be protecting that child. Okay, it's like a superhuman power. It's all throughout nature. Look at a mama bear, okay? So the fact that they've taken this measles thing, they started it at Disney World, of course. Oh, the terror. Oh, the terror. Remember, little Johnny's not going to get his trip now. I thought that they were going to do a terror. I mean, I always had said Disney World would be the great place for a terror attack, but I didn't think it was going to be a bioterror attack. I figured bodies strewn about probably would have been effective, but this is pretty ingenious for their chess game that they're playing. But, you know, Johnny now doesn't get his trip to Disney World. And if you watch all of these mainstream morning news clips, they're like, oh, you know, measles, it was eradicated. And they make it sound like it was this horrific killer fucking disease, and it's not. They are making it seem like it's Ebola, and they're using the Ebola fear porn. They're playing right on top of it. Notice how I have not seen doctors. Sanjay Gupta came up saying that, you know, those parents that don't get their kids vaccinated, they are just not responsible. And, you know, they're probably going to start sending CPS after people. You watch. But I haven't seen any mainstream doctor coming out going, well, you know, measles was one of those things like chicken pox everybody got. You know, it was kind of the rite of passage as a child. Wasn't that dangerous. They got a few spots. They were sick for a couple weeks and it was over. And very few people died from it. And why the hell do we have a chicken pox vaccine? didn't kill you? I don't think measles is too much worse than that. So anyway, the plan, the evil plan, yes, it now has become a talking point for the 2016 elections. Oh, yes, it has. You're going to get your vax whether or not you like it.
This conversation was going to happen anyway because of what's happened out of Disneyland, the measles outbreak in the country. And I'll say this at the beginning. If you're running for president, you should be prepared to be asked just about anything. Right. Your favorite color, vaccination policy, anything. You want the nuclear football? Any question is fair game. This is Chris Christie in London yesterday. He was asked, vaccines, a good thing or a bad thing? He kind of splits the difference.
All I can say is that we vaccinated ours. And so, you know, that's the best expression I can give you my opinion. You know, it's much more important, I think, what you think as a parent than what you think as a public official. And that's what we do. But I also understand that parents need to have some measure of choice in things as well. So that's the balance that the government has to decide.
It's that part where he says parents need to have some measure of choice. That's a balance the government has to decide. Christie's off.
Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. That's exactly it. And notice Christie said exactly what we'd been saying. Well, we vaccinated ours. And what he didn't say was, well, because I got vaccinated when I was a kid and I turned out okay. That's the way most parents think. But the fact that now, well, we're going to let the government decide, I don't think, I'm telling you what, guys, those pitchforks and torches, I hope you have them handy behind a door somewhere because it's getting pretty close. You know, they're going to be kicking in our door. Do you understand what this is talking about? Do you understand what that Carrie chick who came back from Africa and they quarantined her? You know, I did a whole story about that and it didn't get very much play because nobody thought it was a big deal. It was a big deal. That executive order I talked about where they had made additional respiratory illnesses, quarantinable offenses. This is taking away your ownership of your body. Inject it with nanotech and we've lost it all. This is what's happening. Right, I'm going to play the rest of this.
Office after that, Christie's office in New Jersey put out this statement. To be clear, the governor believes vaccines are an important public health protection. And with a disease like measles, there's no question kids should be vaccinated. At the same time, different states require different degrees of vaccination, which is why he was calling for a balance in which ones government should mandate. That's Chris Christie. Let's, before we start the conversation, also bring in Rand Paul. In a combative interview with CNBC on a number of subjects, Rand Paul, remember, he's an ophthalmologist. He's a doctor, an eye doctor. I listen to him here say he has some questions about vaccines.
I've heard of many tragic cases of walking, talking, normal children who wound up with profound mental disorders after vaccines. I'm not arguing vaccines are a bad idea. I think they're a good thing. But I think the parents should have some input.
Again, the staff comes in to do some cleanup. Sergio Gore, Rand Paul's spokesman, saying, Dr. Paul believes that vaccines have saved lives and should be administered to children. His children were all vaccinated. He also believes many vaccines should be voluntary and, like most medical decisions, between the doctor and the patient, not the government.
And guys, that's exactly it. Now roll in Obamacare and precision medicine, and we have a recipe for disaster. It is not going to be your personal choice anymore. The government is going to be the healthcare.
A fair conversation for presidential candidates, and should they be prepared to give clearer answers? I get the government distrust, especially on the Republican side, the conservative side, but when it comes to your children, this, especially when it comes to measles, this is a no-brainer.
I think it's a fair conversation, one, because it is something that's topical right now. Two, you do have several states that are debating this on a state level about what kind of regulation should be in place for sending your children to school. So there is a political government aspect to this. It does show you, though, how what you say as a potential presidential candidate can have so much more resonance than what you say even as a governor. What Chris Christie said is largely the same as what he has been saying in the state of New Jersey, where this has been a big topic. But when you say this and you're potentially running for president, you have to be a bit more careful with your language. And he should have probably been better prepared. When you saw them walk this back, you can tell that they got nervous about the message that this may have been sending. Just on Rand Paul, we've been talking about this a little bit. the difference between Rand Paul and Chris Christie on this is Rand Paul is a doctor. And if you're going to be saying things like, I know of children who have been affected by this, you should have some evidence to back that up. And as far as we know, that doesn't exist.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, Chris Christie, whenever you have to have a statement that says, to be clear, you know you've messed up and maybe you're not quite yet ready to be a presidential candidate yet. With Rand Paul, he literally drew a connection between autism and vaccines. There is no connection between the two. I have an autistic boy. I don't know how he got autism. I know he didn't get it from vaccines. It's these gentlemen's job as part of wanting to be a leader to educate the public, and they should be making clear to people, get your kids vaccinated.
Wow, did that dude just bitch slap? Hold on, let me get this out.
Did that dude
just bitch slap Rand Paul for making the comment that he's aware that some children have gotten sick after getting vaccines? He did. He said that. Did he just say that it was unprofessional of him to draw some sort of line that connects vaccines to autism? Because I'll tell you what, there are more and more doctors out there that are going, well, and I'm going to tell you too, if you start looking at this RNAi technology and what they're doing, I'm going to tell you that payload could have been anything. And if you look at the video that came out, a month or two ago about how 50% of our children are going to be autistic in the next 20 years, how the hell is that possible then? What do you think it is? You know, the fact that kids are normal one day, and I have seen so many heart-wrenching videos and read so many stories of that very same thing. Their kid was normal. Their kid got a fever after the shot. The kid started screaming. And now the kid is forever sitting in a wheelchair with no recognition of anyone or no capabilities to do anything. I mean, it's horrifying. And these pharma companies get away with it. There is no recourse. Remember, we looked at that confessions of a Rx drug pusher with April and Burstein show. They put aside money because it's more profitable to get it out there. They put aside money to cover any settlements they have to deal with. And now with the Obamacare, the precision health care, with this being a big moneymaker, and remember, this big biopharma medical industrial complex that they have now constructed is the big moneymaker. This is where the future is. Obama said that. This is the economic engine for the 21st century. And I want to play a little bit more of this.
And not be pandering like they both were doing.
And if you're responsible. Wait.
We're going to back it up 1 second. I just want to hear what he said about Rand Paul.
Autism and vaccine.
Right here.
Paul and Chris Christie on this is Rand Paul is a doctor. And if you're going to be saying things like, I know of children who have been affected by this, you should have some evidence to back that up. And as far as we know, that doesn't exist.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, obviously.
Wow, there's no evidence to back that up, apparently. Holy crap. 3 weeks worth of the Truther girls, April and Verstein. I mean, the Vaccine Liberation Army. This is just unbelievable.
Chris Christie, whenever you have to have a statement that says, to be clear, you know you've messed up and maybe you're not quite yet ready to be a presidential candidate yet. With Rand Paul, he literally drew a connection between autism and vaccines. There is no connection between the two. I have an autistic boy. I don't know how he got autism. I know he didn't get it from vaccines. It's these gentlemen's job as part of wanting to be a leader to educate the public, and they should be making clear to people, get your kids vaccinated and not be pandering like they both were doing.
Right. And if you want to make a distinction, let's say, for example, this came up in the last presidential cycle. Let's say if you want to say measles, mumps, absolutely, kids should be vaccinated. HPV, you know, should a state mandate that? Some people have a different debate about that. That came up because of Rick Perry in the last minute. You have to be specific. If you're going to lay out and say there has to be a balance to candidates, you better be specific or you end up here.
Don't distort the science. Don't pretend there's a link. There's not a link.
Our conservative friend Eric Erickson writes this on Red State this morning. He's
all right, you know what? I'm not going to listen anymore. I get so annoyed over all of these people just making up whatever they want to make up for an agenda. What I want to get to is back to the vaccines, the nanotechnology, the immortality project. There was something that I've been talking about for the last couple days that I want to play. We found a story on Friday, right after I got off air, talking about Google. Google has their whole life sciences division. They employ over 100 doctors, and they are building their own nanotech medicine facility, right? They've been doing all kinds of research on this themselves. I had also talked about that group, 23andMe. They came up in a story. They're like the commercial genetic swab company. They're going to take your swabs and tell you whether or not you have sickle cell anemia or cystic fibrosis. Well, I knew they were related to Google. The one thing I wanted to mention, I looked that up yesterday, and yes, Google gave them a whole shit ton of money to get started for venture capital. We have Ray Kurzweil is the head of engineering at Google. He's the man who wanted to upload himself to the machine and is very interested in immortality. And then we have Eric Schmidt, who is the CEO of Google. And we talked about yesterday, you had also Regina Duggan from DARPA, director at DARPA. She was in charge of the smart technology, the Motorola division that was working with Samsung. Well, here's the interview that I finally found for Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, talking about them investing in smart technology. And remember, I told you they now have watches, those same smart watches that can take all of your biostats. They can get your blood pressure. They can get your oxygen level. And when we read the story about the Google Life Sciences injecting nanotechnology, they said they were going to be able to put nanoparticles into your bloodstream, and then you'll wear an armband that'll be able to scan those particles. The smart technology is all totally involved. So let's listen to the interview here from CNN with Eric Schmidt.
Well, the good news about Android, which is the operating system that is used on more than a billion devices, is there are a number of manufacturers that are either building or have announced Android smartwatches. Samsung, for example, has already been shipping one, and there are others coming. So again, you'll have an IP address on your hand, you'll have a mobile phone, maybe you'll have something on your glasses.
It's very exciting. Google just bought one of these Android smartphone or smartwatch makers, WIM. So is something in the works here?
Well, let's not talk about Google's future products, but I will tell you that the Android ecosystem, there's a lot of devices like that coming. We anticipate a sort of Internet of Everything model, which has been discussed pretty broadly. What will happen is computers will all self-assemble. You'll walk into your house and your watch will figure out that they're in your house, and interesting things will happen that make your life more productive and fun.
Let's talk about Google Android, okay, and in particular, Samsung's dominance in Google Android. I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because Google Android has enabled the success of Samsung. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Samsung, and I met with them when I was in Korea, is very, very committed to Android. And indeed, they're bringing out a large number of other sort of Android-related products. Because, of course, Samsung makes more than just phones and tablets. They make refrigerators and many, many other kinds of devices. So they're part of our partnership to make Android and the Internet of Everything really happen. Mm-hmm. So that partnership is very good for us. Samsung has really redefined the smartphone space. Mm-hmm. Today, they're the number one mobile phone manufacturer in the world, and they're number one ahead of Apple's iPhone.
So you're bullish about Samsung's continued success?
Not only am I bullish, Samsung itself is riding high on the success of their decision to standardize on Android and to use their technology. And they're really an innovator in terms of integrated hardware. They do a fantastic job.
Let's talk about moonshot projects. So much discussion about the driverless cars at Google, immortality project.
Right.
Why does Google do this?
Because we can. Because we have the economic resources and the leadership that we can take bets that other companies can't. We fundamentally believe that technology can be a force for good, that investment with very, very sophisticated scientists can invent new products, and we're willing to fail. we're willing to build products that might not work or might not work in version one. But we know if we keep trying it, eventually something really interesting is going to come out. And who doesn't want to be immortal?
There are prices to that, right?
It's going to
be taxing on society for a number of reasons, but that's for another conversation.
Let's get the products built first.
That's right. And then deal with the social impact.
That's right. Let's build the products before we regulate them.
And Homo sapien 2.0? According to a researcher at the Global Brain Institute, a completely new human species will inhabit the Earth in just over 30 years. Now,
thank you.